ABC Radio Brisbane with Kate O'Toole.
Just cast your mind back, if you could, to 2019, to September, and that sight, if you saw the pictures on the news, or if you were closer than that and you could smell the smoke in the air, that those images of the scenic rim and the Gold Coast hinterland's pristine rainforest on fire. It was shocking, it attracted global attention, and it has left images etched into our minds. But now those first-hand stories of that time and stories of survival and resilience and recovery have been collected and transformed into an interactive exhibit, which is almost ready to be unveiled. I think it's scheduled for next week. To find out more about it, we're joined by Associate Professor Corinne Dupre from the Griffith Institute for Tourism. Good morning, Corinne.
Good morning.
Now, you've been working on this for a long time. Can you just explain to me the idea behind this project?
Yes, of course. Thank you. So the idea behind the project was to collect the stories of people who did experience the fires, so that we get the social learning, so that we get their experience and could extract what can be learned on how they did behave, react, but most importantly, on how did they cope and recover from it. So it's why it's a long-term project. It's not just like we were there at the fire, but actually, you know, it has been 18 months after the fire, and we are still working with the community to develop the new guidelines from their voices, and to bring strategies for the government to use those experience and to develop new ways of recovering and being more resilient.
So as you started to gather and collate some of these stories, these experiences, was there a common theme or type of conversation that emerged?
Yes, definitely. Basically, there were four things that did emerge. The first one that was really, really important is that basically the volunteers are really the pillars of the community when there is a disaster. And most importantly, it's not only that they were there during the disaster, but also after. So one type of volunteer that is quite obvious are the bushfire fighters, the firefighters who were there like in front of the fire and so on. But there is, for example, also the Queensland Women Association, who was there also to feed all the volunteers. And then after the fire, who continue to support all those, for example, who lost their houses or who had property damages and who are still helping them today. And this network of volunteers is really, really important because it shows that the community is actually working together and has an inner structure that is really strong. So that is very important because it's not like that everywhere, and particularly in the scenic rim region, it has been very strong.
I actually, as part of my role reporting, I had to go to the Beachmont Fire Station as that was all happening, and mm-hmm. that was the thing that struck me, was the level of activity in the kitchen, which was being run by the CWA, yeah. and so yeah. much so much being done, and so much, and it was run 24 hours. So whenever fire crews yeah. came back in, there was something warm, some food, which said, "You're doing a great job. Keep going, we care about you." And it was just beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing that the firefighters told us as well, for example, it was little attention. So, for example, just to mark the day, which day are we? Because, you know, they had lost totally. They fought the fire for 14 days nonstop. And they didn't know which day anymore they were in the week. But every day, those women, they put the day and say, "Today we are Friday, today we are Saturday," and it helps them to be grounded, you know, it helps the volunteers to be grounded back to the reality. The other thing is that many did remember that they were in their truck opening the food little package with little notes, you know, like, thank you so much, or we are full of gratitude, and so on. And so that is actually the second finding that did emerge from the stories, is that all things matter, even the smallest little attention. And for example, many participants said that they were struck by the generosity and the hug, simply the hug that they received in the street when they were walking. Some of them had lost their houses, and just walking in the street, not a fireman, but a cop said to one of them, "Are you okay?" And then just hugged the person. And I think that kindness is really something that did emerge from the stories. And what is quite also important is the social network, because many people reported the kindness through social media, Instagram, Facebook, emails, receiving from wherever in the world, like, "We are here for you, keep going," or "Do you need anything?" Or "We are thinking of you." That is also one other important thing for the community.
So volunteers and the importance, structural importance for them, that small things matter, that idea of social connection. And was there another strong theme that emerged as well?
Yes. So the third thing that did emerge is actually the fact that all the inhabitants or the residents from the community are very aware of climate change. They knew that this season, the 2019-2020, was really unusual because the forest was unusually dry. They knew also that something will happen in the sense that everything was lacking water, and they say it's not something that is new, it's something that is progressing every year. It gets drier and drier longer. And so the climate change and the way we do prevent fires, they say we need to reconsider that, because traditional owner of the land had a tradition of plant burning that is maybe more efficient than what they had done. And almost all our interviewees mentioned that we need to reconsider our way to treat the environment. We need to do something else.
And the final main point that emerged, Karine?
It was about mental health. So basically, all what came out from when I asked the question, what did you do for your mental health? In which space are you now? Basically, all the participants were like suddenly struck by silence, because now almost all of them have their tangible assets ready. They have cleaned their properties, they have sprinklers, they have all that. But about themselves, about their recovery from mental health, they haven't dealt with it. They haven't, how to say, take the opportunity or the time. And I think this is the main finding. It's that recovery should always, or even the preparedness should always include the mental health recovery, because people don't do it necessarily. And we have met people who are still struggling. They still have, you know, the post-trauma stress disorder. They can't smell smoke, even if it's from a barbecue. They can't see smoke because they go in panic mode right away. So there is still stress. And this mental health recovery is really, really a long process, but not all of them are dealing with it.
So how are these themes that you've just described realized in the exhibition itself? What does it look like?
Okay, so the exhibition, basically, it's a timber building. And the way it was designed, it's basically silhouette of houses. It looks like houses from far away. And that was to remind about the 11 houses that were burned. And in the middle, we have a section that is much more organic. We have laser cut it. So it reminds of the forest. It has a pattern of the forest, leaves of the trees, and so on, to remind as well that after every disaster, the environment regenerates, and so do we. And inside, you have actually extracts from our interviews where people are explaining their recovery or explaining what did matter to them. So you could read that. And we've got also a 1.5 hour videos where it's footage from those interviews. We have selected those that talk about the before the fire, during the fire, and after the fire. So it gives an idea of what people did experience. And we've got also two iPads where people, visitors, can still add their stories if they were not included or if they wanted just to give their feedback. So basically, it's quite interactive in the sense that you've got many things that you can read, many things where you can give feedback, many things that you can learn.
The official unveiling of this exhibition, Karine, is happening next Friday. And when and where can the public actually see the exhibition if people are listening now and are interested to actually see it for themselves?
Mm-hmm. So it's at the moment the pavilion is at the Binabura Lodge. So it's there and the opening is at 9 o'clock. It's a free opening for everyone to come. But most importantly, we are very proud because we've got 4 representatives from the Prime Minister Cabinet coming. The National Coordinator Andrew Colvin from the National Bushfire Recovery Agency is coming, and we've got the state representative and the region representative as well. So it means that what we are doing and what the community, most importantly, is saying matters for those people. And so the pavilion will stay at Binabura Lodge for 3 months, and then it will go to Mount Barney Lodge. And then it will continue to tour to 2 other places, most likely Canumbra, because this was the place where there was the evacuation center, and then to Arutela, which was unfortunately a place that got quite burned as well during the 2019 bushfire.
I'll be very interested to see it, and I no doubt we'll speak again. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.